Measures Radio is on the air.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes. If you are a moron, please turn off your radio, because we don't need any more stupid, narrow-minded, pencil-neck geeks who wouldn't know the First Amendment if it came up and bit them on the butt. Thank you.
You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Has led you to the Tinker's Shop here on Just Measures Radio. I welcome you. Please come in, sit down, have a seat. We all must remember that we are the library for those who come after us, and we must share our knowledge with those who need it.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black. Tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me. There's no place I can be. Since I found serenity, you can't take the sky from me.
Well, good evening. Hello to all my friends out there in GMR land and here in the chat room. Yes, oh wow, we got quite a few people here tonight. Hey Boomer, hi Concretin, Iowa Cat, Minnie, Funkin, our Peck, and Three Anons. Hey guys, I keep telling you, you should pick a name and join us in here. So, anyway, well, you're listening to The Tinker Shop here on Just Measures Radio, and tonight is the 20th of September of 2014, and contrary to all the stuff that's been going down this last week, we're all still alive. So, we haven't joined the ranks of the undead yet. So, oh yes, what can I say? We've been having a lot of interesting things on the news lately. You know, we've got, let's see, what all do we got here? We got ISIS. We've got, well, we got Bam Bam in D.C. He's probably almost as bad. We got, supposedly we're going to be getting Ebola here. Yeah, right. We'll see. Of course, I think with our fearless leader, Der Fuhrer, you know, with him wanting to send 3,000 ground troops to Africa to help with this. Come on, guys. You know, especially under the State Department. It's just like, what? So, what can I say? I suppose I could rant and rave and everything else, but I don't think I will. Not tonight. So, but what I'm going to do is, well, tell you what, I'm going to actually send everybody out to our usual webpage, because I actually have a new webpage for tonight. How about that? Shocking. It's been a while. So, where we'll need to go out to, now if my computer will cooperate, there we are. Went ahead and put the link there in the chat room. You know, out to harlinn.tower.com/tinkers_shop with a capital T. So, okay. Well, I'll let people get a few seconds here to get out to our homepage. And if you scroll down a little bit, you'll see that there's a new entry there for today, the 20th of September of 2014. And it's where you want to click on is where it says potato bin. And what this is I went ahead today and did myself a project that I've been talking about for quite some time of making some new potato bins. So I'll give people here a few seconds here to get out here if you're so inclined. And so let's see. I suppose what I should probably do, I know I am going to do this. I thought about putting some music in tonight, and this probably won't take real long to run through this stuff, so why don't we do this? I'm gonna put one here, tune in from a gentleman by the name of Stan Rogers. It's called Take It From Day to Day. And, like I said, we can listen to that while people peruse the webpage. So we'll be back here in about, 3.5 minutes.
Well, it's not the hours of watch on watch, and it's not the work that I mind so much, or the long cold miles from my lover's touch, though for sure she's far away. No stranger I to the touch of steel, or the honest fear any man can feel, but I long for dust under my heels and a pocket full of pay, so I'll take it from day to day. The pack ice round us cracks and groans, the old Saint Rock she creaks and moans, the icy fog is in my bones, and the ache won't go away. Outside, I bet it's warm and fair. I could have her fingers in my hair, but it's long, cold miles to her out there, so I guess I'll have to stay and just take it from day to day. We're as far north now as I want to come, but Larson's got us under his thumb, and I signed up for the whole damn run. I can't get off halfway, but when I get back unto the shore, I'm going south where it stays warm, and there'll be someone on my arm to help me spend my pain, so I'll take it from day to day. Come, but Larson's got us under his thumb, and I signed up for the whole damn run. I can't get off halfway, but when I get back unto the shore, I'm going south where it stays warm, and there'll be someone on my arm to help me spend my pain, so I'll take it from day to day. Stranger eye to the touch of steel, and the honest fear any man can feel, but I long for dust under my heels and a pocket full of pay, so I'll take it from day to day.
Oh yeah, that's what we gotta all do. We gotta take it from day to day, wherever we are and whatever we're doing. So, okay. Well, let's see here. I'm trying to think what else. Hopefully everybody's been keeping Doc's son in your prayers. Last I'd heard last night, I know see, what was it? Was that you, Minnie, who had put the note in before relaying it from Doc, saying that his son's doing a little bit better? So, and I know yesterday when I was talking to Doc, he was telling me that before he left his house there to make the run over to Biloxi to the VA hospital, that his son was asking him to bring some chew along. So I told him, well, you better not take the chew along, but, you know, try sneaking some colloidal silver there into the hospital and just, you know, let him have a little bit of that. You know, tell him it's his bottle of water and, you know, he can sip on that a little bit at a time. So, okay, well, I suppose I should probably get my keister in gear here. And so, over on our webpage for, you know, potato bins, what I did today was I finally decided, well, I better get my butt in gear since I've been still busy, been digging potatoes out. And I am fairly happy with my collection of spuds that I'm getting. I've been taking pictures of them, too, as I've been digging, so I can actually show people probably next week. I'll go ahead and show the excavation that I had done on the potatoes. So, but one thing that you're going to need if you do potatoes, or if you're going to store potatoes, you should have a bin to store them in. And in talking with Schwimbo, she'd said, well, you know, I should use these particular grate things she'd picked up. It was from a shelving unit. And these particular grates were 15 and a quarter inches wide by 36 inches long. So that was my determining size for what I wanted to build. So what I did was I made a trip, last Sunday, I believe, or was it Monday? I went over to the local Menards and just picked up some wood to make these. And it happened that Menards had a bunch of 1x12s on sale, 4-footers, you know, cutoffs, and they had some other stuff. So I went, okay, I'll get some of these 4-foot cutoffs. Those will be make the majority of my box that I'm building. I also picked up some 2x4s to make stub legs for these. And let's see, what else was there? A couple 1x6s. So that was, you know, generally, you know, the bill of materials that I had. So this first picture I've got here, and I actually didn't know if I was going to get this web page put together tonight, but after I got through out in the garage where I was assembling these things at, it was about 7:15 my time, so 2 hours ago now, I thought, I don't have too much to do, got to eat some supper, got to get the machine restarted, get everything working, I got enough time. So I went ahead and did it. So what we have here, like I was saying, first shot, this is where I had, you know, started laying things out. I'd gone ahead and pre-cut all my boards to start with. And what we have here, first shot is the back board for a bin. And that, like I said, that's a 1x12, and it's 40 and one-half inches long. You know, there's, sounds kind of crazy wording it that way, but, you know, I went with my measurements, because the screen was 36 inches long, and so you have the 36 inches long, which is not changeable. 2x4s are generally an inch and a half thick these days. So I knew I was going to need two of them, so that gives me 3 inches. And then my sideboards, which are also 1x12 stock, those are 3/4 inch apiece. So I had to take 1.5, 1.5, and 1.5 add that onto the 36 inches, and that gave me 40 and a half inches. So that's where I cut it to length. The 2x4 legs for this, since I decided I was going to build this in a, what would you call it, a modular format, in other words, where three separate modules I could stack up. You know, fill the bin on the bottom, set the next one on, fill the second bin, put the third one on top. So what I had done with this here is you can see where I'd laid the two 2x4s out for the back piece for the legs. I used an inch and a half gap at the top so the legs from the next box up could fit down in there. I went ahead and just basically used, three screws on each end to hold that portion together. So next picture down is where I started marking the side pieces. Now the side pieces were, again, like I said, it was 1x12 stock, and because the screen or the grate that I had for the, it was old shelves from a shelving unit, that was 15 and a half inches wide. So therefore, I went ahead, actually it was 15 and a quarter inches, but I went ahead to give myself a little play. I made the sideboards 15 and a half inches long. Okay, and so again, what I did was just basically gave myself the inch and a half at, the one edge, and then drew it out to where the leg would mount up to the other leg that's showing on the side. And so the next one down here, again, you can see where the whole side is there, where I have marked out for both the legs to mount. And what I had done with these, when I pre-drilled my holes in there, I used what would it be? 5/32 drill bit. In other words, it was just large enough to pilot it good through the wood where I was going to be starting to run my screws. So that way it can help avoid splitting the wood. So again, these just basically got, three holes drilled in on each side in that area that's marked out that looks like a 2x4. Okay, and then again, the next shot down here, you can see where how I drilled the holes, three holes just kind of equally spaced on there. And so if we go down to the next picture here, you see where I had one of the sides assembled and actually screwed to the legs there. And that's just basically how it went. I lined the boards all up with the top of where it would be, so I'd have a standard spacing. Because 1x12s, the sizes vary from board to board, actually. These darn things that I had, actually, there were some that were down to less than 11 and a quarter inches, and there were other ones that were almost 11 and a half inches wide. So this way it just kind of gave me a chance to, level things out. Okay, and okay, well, like I was saying, this shows one leg aside assembled. Once I had that done, I turned it around and I worked on the second side. Once I had both sides in the back assembled, it basically looked like a wide flat horseshoe. Then I went ahead and put the facing board on the front. This is where I used a 1x6. Obviously, it's almost 6 inches lower in the front than it is the back, but you got to have some place to reach in, to the bin to be able to take things out. And again, three screws, pilot drilled the holes first, and And again, this piece was 40 1/2 inches long as well, just to make sure everything stayed square. So got both ends done up. Then I went ahead and turned the whole thing over. And on the bottom side, you just put a couple cleats on there. As you can see, you know, this particular one, I just used 3 screws on because it was narrow. I also, for the bottommost bin, I used a piece of 1x6 because that's where the big potatoes are going to go, and I figured I needed a little bit more strength there. So, anyhow, so once I had these cleats pre-drilled and screwed down, I was actually able to assemble these. So this next shot here is the 3 completed bins that I made. And if you look close at the bottom one, you can see that the grate or the shelving piece that kind of determined my size. And so that's what we got. And overall, the height, it worked out. You know, like I said, the legs were all 16 inches long. So that's, you know, 48 inches plus another inch and a half. So, you know, overall the whole height was just under 50 inches high. In other words, just over 4 foot. And that will probably hold at least 150 to 200 pounds of potatoes. And that's kind of how it looked. You know, it's just, like I said, that was the afternoon project today. And so that's the front view. Next one down, next photo here is a side view. And again, like I said, this is probably, it's kind of hard to see, but you can actually see where the different legs, you know, match up in there. And then the other one here, the last one, it's a back view. So, well, let's see, where am I? Actually, what I should probably do here is I'm going to take a peek here in the chat room, see if anybody had any particular questions with that. And I don't really see any questions in there yet. So what I'm going to do here now, since I was kind of zooming along tonight, I'm going to go ahead here and just put another piece of music in here. And after the music's over, I'll do the half-hour commercials. And then I'll be back and tell you some tales about those spuds. I figured I'd leave those last couple of shots there for the last of it. And so we'll be back real soon. And I'm actually going to put another Stan Rogers one in here, because I feel like a Stan Rogers night tonight. Now, if the computer would cooperate with me here. Yeah, it's one of those cases where we get these nights where the computers just don't want to run fast. So, here we go. Got it queued up. So, Stan Rogers, The Witch of the West Maryland.
Was the wounded knight that bore the rowan shield? Loud and cruel were the raven's cries that feasted on the field, singing back water cold and clear. Will never clean your wound. There's none but the witch of the West Maryland can make thee hale and sound. So turn, turn your stallion's head till his red mane flies in the wind. And the rider of the moon goes by, and the bright star falls behind. And clear was the paling moon when
and shadow passed him by. Below the hill where the brightest stars, when he heard the owl that cried, singing, why do you ride this way? Wherefore came you here? I seek the witch of the west, fair land, who dwells by the winding mere. It's weary by the owl's water, and the misty break burn way. Till through the cleft of the Crookston pass, the winding water lay. Down me brindle hound, rescue me good grey hawk, and be my steed, may graze thy fill, for I must dismount and walk. But come when you hear my horn, and answer swift the call, for I fear the sun will rise this morn, you will serve me best of all. And it's down to the water's brim, he's borne the rowan shield, and the golden rod he has cast in, to see what the lake might yield. And wet rose she from the lake, and fast and clean went she, one half the form of a maiden fair, with a jet black mare's body. And loud, long, and shrill he blew, till his steed was by his side. And simply needed ride, saying, horse, well, me brindle now, fetch me the jet black mare, stoop and strike me good grey hot, and bring me the maiden fair. Thy silvery sword, lay down thy rowan shield, for I see by the briny blood that flows, you've been wounded in the field. And she stood in a gown of the velvet blue, bound round with a silver chain, and she's kissed his pale lips once and twice, and three times round again. And she's bound his wound with the golden rod, oh, fast in her arms he lay. And he has risen hale, and soon with the sun high in the day. She said, ride with your brindled hounds and heel, and your good grey hawk in hand. There's none can harm the knight who's laid with the witch of the west fair land.
Here it is, bottom of the hour, so I'm going to go ahead here and put spot in here for GMR, and then I'll come back, and then we can talk about potatoes. So here goes.
2 years ago, I uttered the phrase, too late, as a warning that silver and gold prices would soon skyrocket, and thus they have this year. With our current financial predicament, you might want to consider someone who supplies silver American Eagles and other precious metals, a family dealer up in Mount Vernon, Indiana. Just Measures Coin Shop. Call Bobby at 812-305-7091 or click on the link at my homepage at johngaultfla.com.
Okay, now now I'm back. Okay, so, yes, Nada, I was not ignoring you. Believe me, I've, like I said there, my brain has been going about a million miles an hour today. And I hit the ground running this morning and, you know, doing a bunch of projects and decided, well, I was going to go ahead here and make those bins and then make up a web page here since it's been a while. Okay, so, well, since you guys were talking about the potatoes here, these are stuff that's going to go in the bin. And obviously, I don't have all the potatoes dug yet. That's an ongoing process. I got all of them dug out that were conventionally planted in the ground. You know, just basically where I used my potato planter. Remember the potato planter I built this last winter and showed you guys how to make? That's what I used. You know, cut my sets and plugged them in. And so I got my Adirondack blue potatoes, which are actually a purple color. I got my Klondike gold potatoes dug. I got my Mega Chippers dug. And I got my russets dug. And those pictures here, this first pair, or the first shot here, those are a couple of the russets that we grew. And those things are literally, the person who's holding them is Tinkerbell's fiance. It's Corey. And he's not a little guy. He's almost as big as I am. So, and those potatoes, the one on the left was probably about, oh, I'd say, 5.5, almost 6 inches long. The one on the right was about 7.5. And between the two of those, the two of them together probably go about 4.5 pounds for two potatoes. And that's what I was getting from the russets this year. Yeah, it was quite amazing. As a matter of fact, I think next year I'm going to be doing russets again. And so they did quite well. And no, these aren't GMO'd potatoes. They were just basically the ground that they were planted in was where we'd taken some trees down this last fall. And then this spring, we went ahead and got stump grinder. And, you know, basically ground the stumps out down to about almost a foot down. And then we went ahead and took all those wood chips, scattered them over the whole garden area. We got about, about 2 loads of compost in the garden itself. And then we proceeded to go ahead and, before we tilled it up, Damon, who's my older son, he took and put probably, he probably took about 10 pounds worth of Milorganite, which is, it's a fairly low grade fertilizer. It's not a, you know, it's not like a 10-10-10 or something. It's only like 3-3-3. It's basically meant for lawns, but it works quite well, as you can see. And what he did was just went ahead and scattered about half a bag over the whole garden, the whole area that we were making a garden out of. And that is about, what would it be? About, I'd say close to 35 or 40 feet in one direction, and it was like 48 feet in the other. So that's a good-sized garden area for that. And so there was not that much fertilizer put in the soil. But the thing was, is between having the wood chips in there, you know, from the grinding the stumps, the leaf compost, and then the light dose of fertilizer in there, that was all tilled in, and then we went ahead and dug it and basically made beds that were about 4 foot wide. And then we went ahead and planted the potatoes in there. So, but we just had, I would say we had an exceptionally good year this year for potatoes. And so that's basically what it is. Let's see, kind of took a peek here. I figured I better check here in the chat room here. I'm not overdoing size, am I? Wow. Not really. I'm feeling pretty good. Admittedly, I did go in Tuesday and have needles stuck in my eyes again. But I would say in the last 24 or 36 hours, they've pretty much back to normal. So, and let's see what else here. About potatoes, Iowa Cat, you asked, can you just leave the potatoes in the ground over our winters? Not undug. Basically, if a person's going to leave them outside, what you have to do is create what's called a clamp. That's basically where you basically dig a pit in the ground and then layer your potatoes up in the pit with straw. You know, good bed of straw, layer of potatoes, straw, potatoes on the way up. And then when you get to, pretty well get the hole filled up, you put a good dose of a straw over the top of that, a foot or two of it, and then you can put some dirt over the top of it. Supposedly, that works to keep them through the winter. I've never tried it, but then again, in the past, I've never had enough potatoes to where it really paid to do that. So basically, what I generally do is I bring them in and either store them like down in the basement in a gunny sack or in bushel baskets, you know, like the split willow baskets. And also in the past, I have used bins, and basically bins similar to what I built today. And for example, with these particular bins, what I'll be doing is getting the potatoes in there and put good layer of potatoes in, a layer of newspaper, another layer of potatoes and newspaper, and basically fill the bin up that way. And then top it off with another layer of newspaper. So that'll help, it'll keep them from drying out too much, and also with having the paper covering over the potatoes, it'll help keep excess light out. Because if your potatoes get too much light, then they'll want to start greening up. They'll, get a green area on. That green stuff, when it starts getting under the skin, it's a compound called solamine. I believe that's how it's pronounced. And that's actually what gives you a really bitter flavor. And actually, solamine is, if you have enough of it, it's actually poisonous. So, but generally speaking, if you peel up potatoes and it's kind of green, you take a bite of it, it's just really bitter. So let's see. And yes, Minnie, that's how I like potatoes too. Pan fry them with onions and lots of butter. And maybe some garlic and a little bit of black pepper. It goes really good. And so, yeah, now you're getting hungry. Yep. Well, actually, to be truthful, once we get through with the show tonight, I'm probably going to go and grab another. I'll go grab a potato and slice it up, and probably two or three of us will have a snack here. So. Did I get the taters out and put in garbage cans with sand? That might work. But then again, you don't want to have it too damp, because then, they're liable to think they're in the ground, planted, and ready to grow. So, I'm sorry. I guess I am kind of bragging a little bit. Yeah, I feel pretty good. My experiment that I announced this spring actually has turned out very well. And so I'm really happy with the results I had from it. Of course, this year, my tomatoes were for crap. Didn't get that many. My onions, they did okay. But we got a rainstorm at the wrong time. know, the tops were dying back and we had some rain in there, and I went, I can't pull them yet. And so finally when it dried out enough, I went ahead and pulled them, and then I had a lot of them that were going bad. So lost probably 30% of my onions this year. Garlics did really well, and what I should probably do at some point is just kind of do pictures of all the stuff I got out of it. I was pretty happy with the garden this year. My corn was, well, my corn didn't do real well. My peas did not do real well. Again, we had the rain at the wrong times and had some long dry stretches, so they just didn't do real well. The leeks, though, I have got leeks out there. This year has been the first year I had really good results with leeks. I have leeks that are probably, at least 1 1/4 inch diameter at the ground. And I planted, 95 leeks, I think it was. So I'm going to be eating lots of potato and leek soup this winter, I think. So, let's see here. Let's see. Why don't I do this? I'm going to jump back out to out to the web page here. And the last picture I got on the web page is one of the buckets of fingerling potatoes I did. I actually did 4 of them. And as you can see, this is where I just took the bucket and dumped it onto a screen. And as you can see, there's a lot of fingerlings there. And out of the 4 buckets I had perhaps, probably about, I'd say probably about 15 or 16 pounds of fingerlings. Of course, I don't really know for sure because I didn't even get them all dug and into a bucket to weigh them before She Who Must Be Obeyed grabbed a double handful and says, "I think we're gonna what we're gonna have for supper tonight." So, and we did weigh them. I did come in the house and weigh them afterwards, and what she grabbed was about 2.5 pounds worth. So, and that was, like I said, probably overall I had about 15 pounds of them. So they worked out quite well. Okay, so that pretty well does it for the web page for this week. So what I'm going to do here is I'm just going to go ahead and go back to the chat room here and see if there's any other. See, I'm trying to think if there was any other comments that people had made. I'll go back to the fertilizer here. Like I said, the russet potatoes there that I had the pictures of, those were just with the straight Milorganite. The fingerlings were of the special mix fertilizer that I put together. That's the one where I had it was one part blood meal, one part bone meal, and one part fish meal. And each one of those buckets got about 1/4 cup of that mixed in with the compost at the bottom. And so I think that fertilizer did okay, because I did do some of the other buckets up, and I did harvest a few of the buckets, and I did come to the conclusion that the Adirondack Blues did not benefit from the special fertilizer. Where I had potatoes planted in rows, again, I was getting a lot of the Adirondack Blues that were, I would say about the size and weight of a pound of butter. Got quite a few of those. Whereas the Adirondack Blues that were planted in the buckets with the special fertilizer, I got mostly, boiling potato size potatoes, which are probably, say, 1.5 to 2 inches diameter. So, like I said, the Adirondack Blues, they didn't benefit from the, with the fertilizer. They also didn't give as much in the buckets as I'd hoped. The fingerlings did extremely well, in the buckets. In the ground, I didn't find any. I don't know if, some critter got them and dug them up and ate them, but that was kind of the report on those. And let's see here. The, Yukon Gold, Klondike Gold potatoes, I would say that they did about the same, in the buckets versus in the ground. I didn't have any bad ones in the buckets at all. I didn't get any rotted ones, but in the ground I did get a couple ones that were kind of nasty inside. So, yeah, that's how that goes. The mega chippers, I haven't dumped the buckets yet that I planted those in. That's going to be happening tomorrow, because Tinkerbell and Herbo are going to be doing those tomorrow for me and digging up the last of the potato bed that's in the northwest garden. And then I also have, what is it, six or eight more buckets of my controls, and that's in the front garden. So we'll be getting some more pictures, and I'll actually will go ahead and take pictures and weigh up the stuff and be able to kind of give people a report on how things worked on those. So what do we got here? We've got 9:48 already. So let's see here. I'm gonna put a piece of music in here. Remember last week I played some stuff here by Steve Lee, and this is the one that he has called "I'll Give Up My Gun." So here you go.
There's so many rules, things that matter to me, like driving on beaches and a license to fish in the sea. I used to live like a gypsy, I'd camp by the side of the road. Now they just move me along, there's nowhere to go. Well, I'll give up my gun when the ocean runs dry. When fireworks were always a family affair, the whole town would turn up to join the event of the year. Well, there were crackers and sparklers and rockets and fountains and shells. When they took them away, they took some of our freedom as well. Sun doesn't shine. Now I lock up my house, lock up my car and my shed. If I try to defend them, I'm likely to get locked up instead. Because the scumbags got lawyers and rights, so the law lets them be. While the honest, hard-working get sharpened and fight to stay free. I'll give up my gun when the birds don't fly.
easy. Go on. You're a good little fella. Come on, Trunk. Let's get the hell out of here. Come on, mate. You done good. Your mother would be proud.
You're very happy with me, Ed.
You listen. Did you hear him?
Well, I'll give up my gun when the ocean runs dry. And I'll give up my gun when the sun doesn't shine. I'll give up my gun when the birds don't fly. I'll give up my gun when politicians don't lie.
G'day, Johnny, what are you doing?
Hey, I'm out walking, but what are you doing here with that gun?
I thought I took all the guns.
You didn't get them all, mate, and you're not having this one.
I'm after you.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, that's just a song that's just kind of fun. So, and yes, I see the blue potatoes. I know they sound a little strange, but when you cook them, you know, they get a little bit, they lighten up a little bit. And one thing I found with the different potatoes I've grown, last year I'd grown a bunch of red potatoes. Not red skin potatoes, but red potatoes. And so there was two or three times I'd gone ahead and cut up thick potato chips, and did some reds, did some blues, did some gold, and some regular white potatoes. And so the grandkids thought that was pretty neat, you know, all different color potato chips, and it was all, you know, naturally colored stuff. And funniest part was is they wiped out the blue potato chips first. They thought they tasted great. So it's just, I know it's, yeah, Punkin, I know it's something about blue food. It does kind of, how'd you call it? It's kind of an alien concept, but it's like the, what do they call them? Beans, the royal burgundy beans. When you cook those, they just get to be bright green. But, let's see, what is it they call it? It's an antioxidant that's in them. Let's see, what are these? I'm trying to think what it's called. Cyanogen or something? But they're really high in a couple of these different antioxidants, so they work quite well. Good evening, Wrights. Welcome. Yes. Oh, you got 24 quarts. Wow. Great. But you missed most of the show, so you'll have to listen to it in the archives. So, what can I say? Of course, we did have the way things worked out here. It's somehow one of my older shows, one of the two-hour ones that had music in it, played just before I came on. So, what can I say? It's the way things work. I guess. So, what do we have here? We got 9:56 here. What I could do here, if people would like, I could go ahead probably and start. I could go ahead and do some music here again. Probably be kind of in and out here, but I could go ahead and do some music here after the top of the hour. And probably, let's see here. I don't know. What are people interested in? Should I just folk music type things, or should I just go ahead and do a bunch of the oldies? Maybe I'll do a little bit of both. Oh, okay. I've had that happen, by the way, I see. You know, where you get, where you plant something and the tag on the package says that it's one thing and something else comes up. Mother Earth was telling me yesterday that, that the peppers you sent her that you thought were jalapenos weren't, that they were actually cayenne. Yeah. Oh, you did check your labels. Okay. But I've actually had stuff that I've gotten from, you know, garden centers with pre-started plants that, what was it, last year, year before, we got what we thought were spaghetti squash, and they certainly weren't spaghetti squashes that came out. They, I think they were probably some sort of acorn cross or something, and, so they didn't come out the right color, they didn't have the right shape, and they sure weren't spaghetti squash inside. So, oh yeah. I think also, I think there was also another thing too that we'd gotten that was supposedly watermelons, and they weren't. So what can you say? Gotta kind of, you know, watch the labels, I think. So. Anyway, let's see here. Let's see, next week, probably, I'll go ahead here for the show next week and probably, if we get all the rest of the potatoes dug and I get some decent pictures of it, I can go ahead and give you a final report on what kind of yields I got from the potatoes, and I probably do some more shots of what they look like. So that's, Basically, about all my brain is, can think of tonight here. So let's see here. Well, we've got, 9:59. So I'm going to go ahead here, and if I can find the commercials, I know they're in here somewhere. Is this the station IDs? No, it's not. There we go. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead here and put a commercial or two in, and then after that, I'll come back here and we'll get some music coming down down the line for you. And who knows, maybe I'll toss in a few comments along the way as well. So, again, if you're leaving, thank you for joining me here tonight on the Tinker Shop, and if you're staying, please feel free to enjoy the music. So this is the main portion here for the 20th of September 2014. And all those who are leaving, have a very good evening. But I'm going to be going ahead and doing here probably another hour's worth of music. So enjoy.
For the last 20 years, Army medics were taught to the same standard as civilian EMT paramedics. After the blow-up in the sandbox of Iraq and Afghanistan, U.S. Army Medical Corps relooked on how medics were trained. Their training has prepared you on standards that apply to civilian emergency medical services that do not apply to the combat environment. Does this show actually mean combat? Not totally. Combat environments can be found in horrible natural disasters and, yes, man-made disasters. Between this show and live training, the Medic Shack will show you how to treat and survive most any natural or man-made disaster. So join us Sundays, 5 p.m. Mountain Time on the Just Measured Radio Network.